to rejoice in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our God, so great salvation. This ring of the king here, chapter 8, the day that the king gave the house of Haman, the Jews, the enemy, to Esther the queen, Mordecai came before the king. He was granted permission because he could come boldly into the king's presence because Esther was there. Esther, didn't you love that line? Esther told the king what Mordecai was under. John 17, our Lord said, "Mine are thine and thine are mine." He said, "Father, I will that they be with me where I am." So Mordecai was right there beside her. The king took off the ring. He'd given a ring to Haman back in chapter 3. Put it back on his hand. And then when he had Haman hung and gave that house of Haman to Esther, who gave it to Mordecai, this is all significant, that the king took off the ring and gave it to Mordecai. All right, this ring, I said before, rings are a symbol of love. You get married, and symbol of unity and a bond, you know. This ring of the king here is also a symbol of his sovereign signing and sealing of covenants and decree, a signet. You've heard of a signet ring? Or the king, or you've seen those stamps of wax, you know, people would a letter and seal it and put wax and put a seal on it. That's the way you used to seal everything, wasn't it? A signet by the authority, the one that sent it. Well, that's this ring, all right? He gave this ring to Haman back in chapter 3 to go out and kill all the Jews. And he signed it and sealed it. Now, Haman's adversary, he's the enemy. And his accusations were, these Jews are not good people. They're against the laws of the king, and on it was. Spiritually speaking, it's true, isn't it? Spiritually speaking, there's none righteous, no, not one. No, none good, no, not one. They're all gone astray. Haters have got Romans 3, Romans 1, right? It's all of them. And because in Adam, all died, Adam sinned, and we're not guilty for Adam's sin. We're guilty for our own sin. Okay, so God, the law, God said, so, day you eat, you'll die, and the soul that sinneth must surely die. So that's the king's decree, and he sealed it. Well, what about giving this ring to this evil man? Well, and this is a mystery. But in Hebrews 2, let me just read it to you. And I'll try to turn. I wish I'd have marked all these scriptures. I usually do. But let me just read this for you so you won't have to turn so many. I'm going to read you a lot of scripture. It says, Christ was made partaker of flesh and blood, and he took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, even the devil. You see that? Well, God kills and God makes alive. But God turns people over to the God of this world. All right? And Satan can only do what God's purpose and decree allows him to do. I keep quoting, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Satan, listen, men, angels, devils, do God's will. It's all written in a book. Signed and sealed. Okay? That explains that. All right? Everything is God's messenger, either of mercy or judgment. Everything. Now, this law of the Medes and the Persians, you've heard of that, Ed. Law of the Medes and Persians. It was just irreversible. This king was powerful. And whatever he said, he ain't not going to change it. Well, it's just written and signed. It's not going to be changed. It's not going to be destroyed. Mm-mm. Got to be fulfilled. Are you with me? What about God's law? Oh, yeah. It's perfect. The law is perfect. It's holy. It's just and good. There's nothing wrong with the law, is it? What's the problem? Us. We've broken it up. Okay. Now look at verses 3 and following. Esther spake again before the king. She was always speaking to the king on behalf of her people, beseeching him. It says she fell down before him. She feared him. She cried with tears. That sound familiar? Hebrews 5, our Lord was heard in that he feared, and with strong cries and tears pleaded to God for what? His people. He went in the garden. He fell on his face and he cried, Father. And that prayer of his, high priestly prayer, he's praying for his people. And he himself is going to do something about this destruction of his people. Because he couldn't, like she said, I can't bear it. I can't bear to see my people destroyed. I've got to do something. That's what Christ did. For the joy that's set before, for the love for his people, Christ came. Love to his Father, love to his law, love to his glory, love to his people, salvation. He came. And he endured the cross willingly, with joy. Remember, she said, if I perish, I perish. Our Lord knew he was going to die. Well, look at verse 5. I love this. I can't get enough of this. But verse 4, the king held out the golden scepter to her. He heard her. Why? She feared. She cried. And that's our Lord. Hebrews 5. Verse 5. Here's what she pleaded. She pleaded herself to him. If it pleased the king, because the king does whatsoever he pleases in heaven and earth. And if I have found favor in your sight, and the things seem right, because you're going to do what's right. And if I be pleasing in the king's eyes, oh, let it be written to reverse this destruction. Oh, man. Let it be written. All right, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you a question. How? This is the gospel question. How can this king honor his law and kill the Jews and let them go free? How can God be just? You think this is a doctrinal question? It is, but it's much more than that. This is the heart and soul of the gospel. Turn to Romans 3 with me. If you don't know these verses, you need to remember them. Write them on the tables of your heart. May the Lord do so. This is the gospel. No gospel preacher preaches unless he preaches this. This is the oldest question in the Bible, the book of Job. How can man be just with God? How can he be clean as born of a woman? How can a holy God honor his law, the soul that sinneth will surely die, and yet them let forgive them? He will by no means clear the guilty. But how can God be merciful and clear the guilty? You know the answer to that, don't you? Somebody give me one word. Same word as Christ. Christ, the substitute. Satisfaction. What did Esther plead? If I've found favor in your sight, if you're pleased with me, if you accept me on behalf of my people, do something about this destruction. And this is where the type stops. Because Esther didn't die. Esther didn't lay down her life. Esther didn't pay any payment for the redemption of her people. Jesus Christ did. He laid down his life. He paid for our redemption with his precious blood. The soul that sinneth must surely die. And God made his soul an offering for sin. Here it is. Here's the gospel. That God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You understand that, don't you, Catherine? Jeanette, you understand that? Every person in here ought to understand that by now. You know how blessed we are to understand that? This is the gospel, Romans 3, and I have so many. I don't want to read all of it, but I can't. Verse 19 says, the law saith we're guilty. Verse 20 says, by the deeds of the law we'll not be justified. Down in verse 23, all have sinned, but we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption, through the price paid by Jesus Christ. Look, read on. God set Him forth to be a bloody sacrifice, a covering, atonement, like that blood poured over the mercy seat. Christ was the mercy seat, covered in His own blood. Through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness. Verse 25. For the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, the mercy, the grace, the long suffering, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that God might be just and justifier of him that does what? Worketh? No. Believe it. Do you believe that? Oh, how blessed we are. The Jews all knew by this time their salvation is because there's someone at the right hand of the king. You'd ask them all, how are you going to be saved? There's someone pleading for us. And every one of God's people have the same answer. Their hope, their salvation is in a person at the right hand of God. His name is Jesus Christ. Doctrine? It ain't a doctrine. It's a person. Righteousness is a person. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Sanctification, not something you do. It's something Jesus Christ did. Justification, not something you do. It's what Jesus Christ did. It's what God did. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Why? On the basis of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Boy, if I never preach another message, this is it. Just and justifier. All right. Where am I? Back to Esther 8. All right. So the king said, verse 7, we're going to write a new book. The king, Ahasuerus, said to Esther and Mordecai, write a new book. Write a book that will keep your people from being destroyed. A book for their salvation. Brothers and sisters, the law says die. The gospel says live. The law, Mordecai now, from here on, is going to represent the apostles. He represented the prophets now, okay, saying somebody's coming. We're waiting on him, like Mordecai's waiting on Esther. Until John, the final one, said, he's here. All right, then all the apostles, given authority by God Himself and Jesus Christ, said, write a book. Write it down. Write four gospels. And write 20, how many epistles, all about Jesus Christ, who put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Esther's cried. Mordecai's the apostles. Okay? Esther gave Mordecai Haman's house. In Matthew 10, it says Christ gave them power over all devils. How? What? What's the power of God? The gospel! It's a sword. They all went out with this sword. And what Mordecai wrote, the king said, that's my writing. And he took his king and he said, that's my writing. Now don't you question it. What Mordecai says, I said. Esther said to him, what Mordecai says, I said. Paul one time thanked the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he said, I thank God that you received the words, not as the words of men, but as they are in truth, the word of God. For holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. No man, this is not of any private interpretation. Mordecai didn't say, I'm going to write a book. did he? He didn't take that on himself. The king said, Mordecai, write a book. The king said, Esther, write a book. And nothing's changed. The book hadn't changed. But just the law, you know, the truth as it is in our Lord Jesus Christ is witnessed by the law and the apostles. It's the foundation of the prophets and the apostles in it. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. This whole story is about Esther. The salvation of Jews depends on Esther. It's all about her. Saving her people. Well, that's what this book is about. Old book, old covenant, new covenant, same. It's about Jesus Christ. The covenant head. The Redeemer. I just told you the whole story. That's pretty good. 15 minutes. But I'm not quitting yet. Alright, the writing to reverse the law. Now, he didn't reverse it, did he? Didn't change it. Mm-mm. Somebody died. But it wasn't the Jews. Not one Jew died. Not one. Not one. Did you hear that? And then Christ say, all that the Father giveth me, all that thou hast given me, I've kept. None is lost, but the son of perdition. Okay, well, he sent these letters out, and where am I? Not following my own outline. The writing, these letters went out all over. Did you notice? They went from every province. They went everywhere, in every language. Every people, especially the Jews, heard this glorious pronouncement. There's a new book. There's a new covenant. There's a new decree. The king has decreed the Jews to live. They're not going to die. And this went out everywhere, in every language. Have they not all heard? Yes, verily the sound has gone throughout the world. The glorious good news. But this is only good news to those who think they're going to die. Can you imagine the joy and gladness? And we're going to get to that in a minute. Unspeakable joy. They thought they were going to die. The day was coming up. We're going to die. This day. But now, they came with this glorious good news. You're not going to die. Here's the good news. The people's joy and rejoicing. Look at verse 15. The post went out on camels, horses, donkeys. God has all sorts of preachers, doesn't he? Fast speaking, slow speaking. But they've got the same message. Redemption. Lift up your head or your redemption draweth nigh. Redemption that's in Jesus Christ. And verse 15, Mordecai. Look at this. The king honored him so before the people, dressed him in his own royal apparel, blue and white, great crown of gold, a garment of fine linen, went before the people, and the people were so glad. And God has made all of his people kings and priests. That's what I'm going to read from Revelation in the end of it. He's made us all kings and priests unto God. We're all dressed in that royal apparel. But one time, the apostles came and preached this glorious gospel. And the people fell down to worship them. It was such good news. And they said, don't do that. We're just people like you are. Oh, who is Mordecai? Who is he? Just an old Jew. Just a common, ordinary fella. Huh? He's just like us. Oh, but God honored him, didn't he? The king honored him. He's not to be worshipped. Oh, but the people were glad that God, that the king had given this man such authority and such rule. And aren't you glad the Lord has given? Somebody wrote Isaiah 52, how beautiful on the mountain of the feet of them that publish good tidings. When Mordecai came walking into town, everybody, there's Mordecai. He loved this man. Like the prophets, he was a true man, wasn't he? He was a just man. He was an honorable man. He had the people's welfare and salvation in his heart and his mind. That's what he wanted for the people. He was a true man. He wasn't in it for money. He wasn't in it for fame. He was in it for their salvation, wasn't he? That's God's prophets. That's God's apostles. That's God's, all of God's pastors and teachers. That's all of them. That's how you know them. And God honors those that honor him. Remember, Mordecai defended his honor and uncovered a conspiracy against him and exposed those that were his enemies. And that's the prophet. That's the apostle. And that's the preachers of God now. They're not wolves in sheep's clothing. They're spotting the wolves in sheep's clothing. And they're telling you, faithfully, there's a wolf. And the king honored him. All right? Then the Jews, verse 16, had light. Oh, they were under a cloud of darkness, weren't they? Death and darkness was coming, anguish of spirit. And the gospel came, light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? Somebody who loves us is by the King. And gladness and joy and honor. The king was sparing these no good people. All of them. Every single one of them. All Israel was saved. But this gospel came out. And here's why they had good news. Because they had gladness and joy. Because the law says guilty. The gospel says justified. The law says bind him. The gospel says, Lucy. The law says, unacceptable. The gospel says, accepted in the beloved. The law says, do. Gospel says, done. The law says, die. The gospel says, it's like I've never heard it before. Listen to this. Brother John texted me this verse today. Bless his glorious name. You, being dead in your sins, the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Took it out of the way. Nailing it to his cross, spoiling principalities and power, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in himself. I was telling Mindy on the way over here, I said, do you know why this book doesn't mention the name of God in it? Not in there. Blood's not in there. Righteousness not in there. Justification not in there. Forgiveness of sins, not in that. Not in that. Why? Isn't it clear? Is there a clearer gospel message anywhere? Why? Because it's given to you. It's hidden from the world. Hidden. They just think it's a story about the Jews. It ain't about the Jews. It's about Jesus Christ. You must be a Jew. You must be His true people. He's revealed these things to us. How blessed we are. My. Hidden it. All right, go back. Go back to the text. Here's the fight. The king granted, in verse 11, the king granted the Jews, every one of them, gather yourself together. You're going to have to take a stand. Stand for your life. Like old Martin Luther, don't you love that? Here I stand. We stand for the truth. This gospel is our life. Christ is our life. If he doesn't, he's like Joshua. Remember the Aaron and Hur were holding up Moses' hands. And as long as Moses held up the rod, Israel prevailed. It was Joshua out there fighting them. As long as the word of God is held forth. If Christ be lifted up, if Christ fights for us, we win. We win. Now listen, they were told to fight for their life. Their life. The king had already decreed that they live. Their life is not in doubt. Oh no, this is the most powerful king on earth. He's not going to let them die. And yet they were told to stand for their life. To fight. To battle their adversary. Okay? Alright, now the scripture says this. The scripture says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. So let us lay hold of eternal life. Let us strive to enter into the straight gate. Doesn't it say that? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. We sang that song about, shall I go to glory on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the price and sailed through bloody seas? And you've read in Hebrews 11 of what all the people went through. And Hebrews 12 says, we haven't yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And here's the fact, here's the matter. We're not fighting, we're not trying to save ourselves. Christ did that. You understand? I heard a man one time say, fight, do all you can as if salvation depended on you. No! No, don't ever think that anything depends on you. Don't ever do that. Because nothing depends on us. Aren't you glad? We're totally dependent people. Our salvation was totally dependent on what Jesus Christ did for us. Did He do it? Yes, He did. He accomplished salvation by His death. He brought in an everlasting righteousness. He put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He was sanctified once for all by His blood. Justified. God said justified. Accepted in blood. He's all these things. He's all our salvation. We're not fighting to be saved. We're fighting for the truth. We're fighting for God's honor. Okay? We are struggling. There's a struggle going on against sin. There's a struggle going on within us. There's a struggle going on without us. We've got enemies everywhere. We've got adversaries. Lively. Stronger than us. They won't let up. You know how many people were against them? They were everywhere. And our adversary is the same. Many. Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, because God hath willed what? His truth to triumph through us. I can do all things. How? Through Christ. Faith in Him. Without Him, we could do nothing. We stand. And these Jews, they got strength from the decree of the king. He said, we're going to fight. We're going to fight. Not going to sit around. Not going to lay around. We're going to fight. And they fought. We fight against sin and the world. But our strength is not our own. The power is not in us. We have no power at all. The gospel is the power of God. Christ is the power of God. We call on Him. But He says, fight the good fight. This is a good fight. Scripture says, 28 minutes. Scripture said, we're not to strive, we're to be peaceable. But this is a strife. This is a battle against sin, a warfare. Yes, it is. It's easy to give in to temptation, to whatever. It's easy. The struggle is what's difficult. And we can't resist one. He said, resist him. Resist the devil, the roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour. Whom resist hath? In the faith. That is calling on Christ. Help, help me, Lord, help me. I'm going down here. I'm going down. And He upholdeth all them that fall. Paul said this. This one thing I do. Remember the king said, send these out. This is pressing. Remember that? This is pressing. Hasten, hurry, send this out. Today is the day of salvation. It's a pressing matter. Didn't Paul say, this is one thing I do. I forget things that are past. And I press, strive, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. He said, I'm not there yet. And we don't win this battle ourselves at all. No, no. But it's just proof that we're in it. It's proof that we're in the kingdom. If you have this struggle, if you have this battle, if you have this warfare going on, it means you're in the kingdom. It means that Satan's your adversary, not your friend. You see that? There was a time I didn't have any warfare. The world wasn't my enemy, it was my friend. I loved it. Sin wasn't my enemy, I loved it. But God broke down this enmity. But he put this enmity between Satan's seed and his seed. And it's going to be there from now on. There's going to be a battle going on. Don't marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. They hated Christ. And they hate his seed. And they're out to get you. Fight. This is a good fight. This is a good violence. This is a good kind of violence. I tell Mindy all the time, and you men, if you're like me, if you're a real man, you watch these shows where, you know, these guys like Clint Eastwood, they get bad guys and they just kill them. Just kill them. And I told Mindy, I like good, clean violence. I like to see a bad guy just get it. Get what's come to him. Just kill it. Don't you? Don't you? Come on. Now, God taketh no pleasure in the wicked, death of the wicked, but we're sure thankful he does. We're sure thankful he does it, aren't we? Oh, Lord. Slay my enemies. David played this, say this over and over and over and over through the song. Lord, I've got enemies. Take care of them. I can't handle them. And he said, I will. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. And when I take care of them, they're gone. They're gone forever. And there's going to be a day we're going to lay this battle down. Woo! This body of death. The warfare over. But until then, he said, comfort my people. Comfort my people. Tell them the warfare is accomplished. Lay hold of eternal life. Stand for the truth. Stand. Well, and what we're doing, brethren, what we're doing, this is the reason we keep gathering. He said, gather together now. Gather together. Gather together. Gather together. Get them all together. Get them all together. Why are we gathering together? We're fighting for our life. The gospel's our life. God, Christ is our life. Brethren, is this your life? Is this your family? Is the kingdom of God your life? It either is or it isn't. And I don't want the world to take this from us. God help us to fight for our life. Christ said, gather them together now. Gather them together. All right. And they did. In chapter 9, oh my God, this was the last message. A half hadn't been told. I'm going to quit. But not one Jew died. Not one Jew died. And there's one verse I did want you to see. Oh, verse 1 of chapter 9. It said the day that the Jews were to die, it turned to the contrary. They all live. Do you know how many times the Scriptures talks about the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord? Look it up. Do your little Google search. The day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. Hundreds, if not thousands of times. The day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. There's coming a day. Judgment day. Judgment day. Judgment day. And also stand before the judgment seat of God to be judged for the things done in their life. All of them. All of them but Christ's people. Because there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are crying. Why? Because Christ was judge on Calvary's tree. We're not going to stand before. We're going to be seated. He's going to say, come. Sit with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Oh, here Chapter 10, you got to see this. Here's the king's tribute. Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land, on the isles, the sea, and all the acts of his power, his might, declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king, Ahasuerus. Didn't Christ say the apostles were going to sit with him? Great among the Jews, accepted in the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. The king's tribute. Well, here's the tribute. Here's what the tribute from the king says that we're all to do. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And I beheld a number 10,000 times 10,000 and thousand and thousand of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive this tribute. All power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And every creature in heaven, the earth, under the earth, such as in the sea, and all of them said, blessing, honor, glory. Give tribute now. Give honor, give praise where it is due. And power be unto him, his glorious greatness that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Okay.